Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 3, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I am pretty well, gentlemen. I rescheduled the Saturday flight in order to be able to watch a round of 16 games. So
there we go.
I'm excited about that.
I'm so glad you brought that up because you had so many bitchy little tweets about the USMNT yesterday. You were such a terrible fan. Terrible. Oh, everybody get ready for the
draw.
He was
just bracing himself.
They won. They won. Are you happy? Can you be happy, Paul?
I'm happy. But, Joe, I'm a fan who expects things based on previous performance. I expect the Titans to lose in the first round of the playoffs because Ryan Tannehill is not good. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm showing you how it works. If I was a Titans fan, I'd have no reason to expect the Titans to win in January because of what they've done the previous two Januaries. So, based on the way they played against Wales, based on how they chose to play the final 20 minutes where they decided, we're not going to do anything with the ball, we're just going to play defense.
There he goes.
I fully expected them to collapse again, which was reasonable based on the recent evidence.
And you're wrong. But
that's, yeah, I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's funny. People rip you when you make a prediction. And when it's so funny, I listen to fans constantly who are annoying. I'm slightly annoying for 20 minutes. And I get destroyed. I get destroyed for it. I mean, give me a break. There was every reason to believe they would fold in that game. Tactically, it was stupid. Substitutionally, it was stupid. Shaq Moore, everybody in Nashville thinks he's a good player. He's got no business being on that team. He was pitiful. And there was every reason to sit there for 20 minutes of complete tension, expecting the dam was going to break.
Well, PK, for the untrained soccer fan, how big of a deal is this to advance to the knockout round?
Well, I mean, it's what we're supposed to do. It's what we've done pretty consistently outside of 98, I think, in France. But to not lose in the group stage is a big deal. To win a game, you have to win against a team that hates your guts in a every sense, including politically, is a big deal. For your best guy to come through with the goal that you absolutely have to have is a big deal. But really, I think the measuring stick comes on Saturday. You know, can you break through in the round of 16, become one of the best 8 teams in the world? Beating Iran is one thing. Can you do it against the Netherlands, which is, you know, consistently one of the best teams in the world, is another story. So it's a great ride right now, though. I hope Pulisic is all right and can play, and that we can keep doing what we're doing. But we need to find ways to get goals. The Netherlands is going to be a tough team to shut out, and it's probably going to take more than one.
So, PK, on the Titans front, the running game, we've gone through it a little bit less than 2.8 yards a carry the last 3 games. How concerned are you about the running game at this point if you're the Titans?
Well, they've got to solve what people are doing to them. Mike Herndon at my site wrote a great piece today about these heavy fronts, particularly this 6-1 look that they're getting, and part of the solution is to throw over the top of it, which they've done with some success. So, but we've seen three teams in a row really employ it with some success, and they've got to figure it out. It's very effective against the zone running that the Titans do. And I don't know that you can break it just with will. I think Ben Jones coming back will be a big deal. Restore the natural order up there. But it's done a good job of exposing the Titans' weakness up front. And it's time to see how good the Titans are at a counter move there. Because it hasn't been very good, obviously, and it's hurting them. And they're about to see the best team in the league.
So what's your interest level this week, Paul, in the whole A.J. Brown discussion? Because I've been thinking about it. It's like I almost feel like just going around the locker room today and following other media around and just hearing all the different questions about A.J. Brown and how they're answered. I mean, it's like we're all like at times, as you know, we in media really are like moths to a flame, right? I mean, it's obviously going to be talked about. I mean, I think it's worth talking about. But what I'm just curious, just from your perspective as someone who's, you know, coming up with a story budget, what you want to write about this week, what is your interest level? What do you think fans want to hear or read or talk about when it comes to A.J. Brown this week?
Hey, I'm not sure about the fan part, but I might not write about it this week because I don't think there's a new interesting angle on it. I think it's largely been covered. I mean, I think the story comes on Sunday. You know, I think if you're measuring out how it's gone so far, clearly it's been a failure, though Treylon Burks is starting to come. I do have one idea, but it would take some outside help that I don't know that I could get. But it's more about what the Titans haven't been able to do without him. The funny thing is that his numbers are down since he popped off during the Kansas City game about nobody being open, and the Titans wide receiver numbers are up. So that's an interesting angle. But I don't know what we haven't written about. And, you know, I guess the most interesting thing will be what he says from up there, and I think he'll probably be relatively calm this week until Sunday. And then if he has a big game, look out.
Paul Koharski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, I know it's the NFL, and you'll take wins wherever you can get them, but how much stock do you put into the fact that the Titans are 0-3 against AFC playoff teams at the moment, and their one win against a team with a winning record came against Washington on the season, and that's it? How much stock do you put into that?
Yeah, and Washington was 1-4, I believe, when the Titans beat them. I put a lot of stock into it. I mean, I think, you know, and look, the Titans don't control their schedule, so they're not, you know, picking who they play on a given weekend and all of that. But when the times have come to face these teams that they're going to face in the playoffs, they haven't matched up well enough. And these are the teams they're going to face. Cincinnati would be the team in the playoffs right now. And in a lot of instances, you say, well, it's good that they would get them again. Odds of them, the Bengals sweeping them would be low. I think Cincinnati kind of has their number. It's been three in a row, one with monstrous stakes and odds really stacked against Cincinnati with the 9 sacks, and they still found a way. You know, I think the quarterback differential is massive between Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and the Titans, especially against playoff Tannehill. And so I think it says a lot. And I think, you know, the three more games here that are going to say a lot with Philadelphia, with the Chargers, who I know are not great, but are a playoff caliber team with a very good quarterback, and with Dallas, who is capable of big, big things. And the Titans could lose all three of those games. I think the Titans are, you know, right there as a good team that could beat everybody it should beat, which for a change it has done, but could lose to everybody that it quote unquote should lose to. And yeah, that's a big concern.
Defensively, Paul, I thought, you know, first of all, I've already thought that Danico Autry was maybe like still underrated. I think he's been such a key part of this defense last 2 years, and I think that we saw more evidence of that against Cincinnati. But I feel like Jeffrey Simmons also. I mean, I know one time he came off the field, it took him about, you know, like 90 seconds to walk like 5 yards. Where do you think he is? Where do you think this defense is? You know, and what about Bud Dupree? Because I was underwhelmed by his performance Sunday.
Yeah, he didn't do much, and Simmons didn't get double teamed a lot, according to Blake Bedingfield, and wasn't particularly good. It wasn't chasing people downfield the way he usually does. Wasn't as disruptive as he usually is. You know, last three games haven't necessarily been great, and that correlates with the ankle. So that's a problem. Certainly, playing without Autry up there, he's kind of the glue guy. And it's no accident that the Titans really took off as a pass-rushing team when Danico Autry showed up. There's something about the guy that makes him kind of the fuse on the whole thing. And, you know, it's good that they didn't put him on IR. That means they think he's going to miss less than 4 games. I can't imagine, though, Joe, that he's going to be back this week. That would seem very quick based on how he reacted after the injury. So they're going to have to endure without him. It'd be good if Dupree was more himself, which I agree he didn't look like. And defending Jalen Hurts is a whole different thing. So we'll see what they could come up with up front. It'll help too if the secondary can you know take away those things. And AJ Brown is going to be fired up. We know that.
No question about it. Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good to see you. I hope they turn up the heat in there. I'm seeing that Joe is bundled up as if he was outdoors in Michigan.
You have no idea how cold it's in here. Also, I'm weirded out that you're watching me while doing an interview on our show. So you changed.
First time ever that I've actually flipped by it, and it is very disconcerting. I won't do it again.
I would imagine it is. So you change your flight to what? Where are you watching U.S. Netherlands?
Here in my cozy home, and I changed to a 2:45 American from the 9:40 Southwest.
I know. I'm in there the air during the match. I sure hope Southwest gets Fox.
Go USA. See what happens. PK, thanks, buddy.
I believe that we will win.
That's right. That's
yay. Right. Yay, team.
Paul Koharski, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Robbie Stanley back on the board last night in Preds Pick to Click. Preds win last night. We'll have Predators forward Matt Duchene coming up at 9 o'clock today on the program, so looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, obviously, we talked about it yesterday, the matchup for the Titans against A.J. Brown going to get a lot of the attention this week. I would imagine that will be a lot of the talking point today once you all are allowed in the locker room and look ahead to this Titans-Eagles game coming up. Looking forward to that. In terms of on the field, though, what I'm really interested to see beyond just the A.J. Brown stuff
is how do the Titans handle the running attack from Philadelphia? Because it's a much different running attack. I mean, look, Miles Sanders is a good back. He can run the ball well, and they do it from different areas. He runs out of shotgun a lot, so you're going to see a lot of kind of shotgun handoffs there. But obviously, you know, Jalen Hurts is what makes their running game go and why it's so different than most of the rushing attacks in the league. So, you know, I know Josh Allen can run around. I know Patrick Mahomes can run around. It's a little bit different this week in terms of the design runs that are going to be a part of this offense and, quite frankly, the offensive line that they're going up against. It's a huge test for the Titans' rush defense that has been really good most of the season. Not their best day against Cincinnati the other day. It's not like they gave up a ton of yardage, but some big-time runs at big moments for Cincinnati. I'm interested to see how the Titans' rush defense responds against probably their biggest challenge of the season from that standpoint coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It wasn't like some disastrous day, but it was definitely a part of that game, and it was surprising. It was surprising to see. I think early in the season, weren't they like last in the league or something? Yeah.
They got the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and obviously Saquon Barkley had the huge run, and he's great. And that was one of the most disappointing parts of the opener. Since then, they've had some terrific days. I mean, they were just really good, you know, against Jonathan Taylor and the Colts. I mean, I guess you could dismiss that if you want. Frank Reich, blame him. They probably should have gone to him more. But every time that they've had a rushing attack that it's like, okay, this is actually a key this week. Let's see. Who would that be? I mean, Josh Jacobs is a very good running back. They did a good job against him. Again, the Colts, the two games. And then Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay was a very impressive performance on that front. Green Bay still, I believe, should be a tough team to deal with their offense, as long as their quarterback's okay. And, I mean, the Eagles, they did have a lot of success against the Eagles.
Yep.
By the way, so that's on the other side of the ball. That's interesting for this game. But, yeah, it's going to – I agree. Like, the actual – A.J. Brown is the main event, whatever happens there. Because I'm kind of with Paul. You know, to me, I'm we've kind of said everything about this that there is to say. You know, if there's anything interesting that anybody wants to say about it, great.
I mean, I'm mainly waiting to see whether or not A.J. continues to talk this week. That's what I'm kind of looking forward
to.
Yeah,
and does anybody here say anything? I mean, I'll be surprised if anyone does say anything that's, you know, spicy at all or anything. But, yeah, to me, the story is, let's see what happens. It's obviously, especially on A.J.'s side, high, high emotion. But I think beyond that, this is a great undercard. You know, the Titans defense and what the Eagles do offensively, and it is different. I think if you want optimism, not the same offense, not the same personnel, not exactly apples for apples, but the Titans have, for the most part, done a very good job with assignment football and, you know, swarming to the ball and making things tough on the Ravens offense. And there is some of that just in the fact that they actively look to get Jalen Hurts involved as a runner. And then Jalen Hurts is better than I ever thought he'd be as a passer, too, by the way. I mean, Jalen Hurts is having a heck of – the Alabama QBs this year.
No kidding.
The two before Mac Jones. What a year for those two guys.
No kidding. I mean, you know, obviously, when you watch Jalen Hurts do what he did last week against the Packers, rushing the ball, I mean, you got to pay attention to that if you're the defense, and you got to figure out a way to slow that down. But throwing the football this year, he's been really good. I mean, he's got 17 touchdown passes, just 3 interceptions. He's completing almost 68% of his passes. I mean, he's thrown for 2,500 yards, 8-1 an attempt. I mean, there's a reason he's in the MVP discussion. It's not just because of what he's doing on the ground. That passing attack is really good, and A.J. Brown's a big part of it. Devontae Smith's a big part of it. And they've got weapons that this is going to be a huge challenge for this Titans defense. It really is. And, you know, it would be great to have DeNico Autry in this game. I don't think that's going to be the case. So, in the meantime, you got to find a way to affect Jalen Hurts in the passing game, be that Bud Dupree, be that Jeff Simmons, be that whoever. It's also a situation, Joe, and this happened Sunday night. You got to be real careful how you rush Jalen Hurts in this game. Preston Smith came flying off the ball the other night for the Packers and went right around the corner, and all of a sudden, 45 yards later, Jalen Hurts is down the field, and he's taking off running. Like, you're going to hear the words rush integrity a lot this week, I think, from the Titans.
Well, and it was – and my eyes did not deceive me Sunday We talked about that one play where Burrow breaks the pocket, and it just looked like the Titans had a twist, but it, like, two guys, one guy didn't do the right thing. And Vrabel and Byard since then have talked about how, like, they didn't coordinate that stuff, or they didn't execute what was supposed to happen on some of those plays. And you can't have that. You saw it against Kansas City too.
Yep.
You know, Rashad Weaver has got to basically stay in that outside lane, and all of a sudden Mahomes is able to run on 3rd and 20. So, yeah, you're right. It's a huge part of this week. I mean, you got to get pressure. You want to affect him, but it is one of those. I'm trying to think who they played this year where I thought they did a really good job of that. Well, honestly, early on in the game, I thought they actually did a really good job against Josh Allen.
Agreed.
Of staying in those and bottling him up, because he is ridiculous. When he gets going to his right, rolling out, you're dead. And so they know how to do it, and they've faced that before. And actually, most of the Kansas City game, I think they did a good job against Mahomes in that way too. So they can do it. They've done it before. They kind of broke down last week. Just one or two of those that turns into 40 yards, which you easily can, could be the difference Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, this is it's a good defense that you're going up against in Philadelphia. I will say, Packers ran the ball pretty well against Green Bay or against Philadelphia this past week. So we've talked about the running game and the concerns the last 3 weeks. You know, maybe an opportunity there for you to get Derrick Henry going. Now, we also know that if you're Philadelphia, you're still going to try to shut down Derrick Henry as your top option here. So I'm really the running game on both sides of the ball to me. Everybody's going to talk about A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks and all that stuff, and I get that. You know, I'm fascinated to watch that too. But to me, a lot of this game, I think, is going to come down to the running game on both sides of the ball, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, and the Titans at some point, because how much have we talked this week already about almost just basically, like, what is their identity, and do they need to pivot? Do they need to – I mean, some people saying, yeah, just leave Derrick Henry on the bench or whatever. I mean, that's extreme, but you don't want a fourth straight game of not having a productive running game. They get Ben Jones back, then I think their chances increase of having a better day. They really need, and it is, when you play an offense this explosive, it is the old, you know, keep the ball and keep the ball away from that offense too. Play some keep away. You got to be able to run the ball to do that. So it's a big, big week for the Titans running game. But situationally, this game, so the Titans still, even after they failed against the Bengals, are still fifth in red zone offense.
Yep.
Eagles are first. Titans are still first in goal-to-go offense, 91.67%. Eagles are fifth. So that's going to be, you know, a huge thing. And obviously the Titans are still first in third down defense. Let's see, the Eagles' third down offense, I believe, they're third in the league, 47%. So the situational stuff, it's very good in different ways on both sides. Probably have a lot to do with the outcome.
We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans and the Eagles, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Make sure you play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win great prizes, you can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5-106.3 The Game. This week's game will feature the Miami Dolphins taking on the San Francisco 49ers at 3:05. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Eagles, Chuck on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, when the other team stacks the box and downing counters that by packing in the offense even tighter, at least spread them out, at least the spread would get them some out of the box. We've heard a lot of that the last couple of days on the text line of
maybe spread things out a little bit. I mean, they have done that at times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the last game, you can find some snaps where they were five wide, empty, spread out. But could you do it more? Sure. I mean, I think they do try to be unpredictable. I mean, they do come in, you know, they come in formations where you think they're going to do one thing, and they'll run a draw. You know, they'll go five wide, and then, you know, you bring the back in offset, and you run a draw, or you throw out of the bunch formations. I mean, it's not like they're that predictable, but I think the personnel, I mean, more than that stuff, I do think, you know, the personnel usage is something that's important moving forward. I think more Burks. I believe, is it correct? He was up to 67% last game. Is that right?
I think so.
So that's an almost 20% jump from the game before. And we talked about that before with A.J. Brown, his rookie year. You know, he was in that around half or so, 40% and then early in the year, and then he's more in the 70s late in the year. That's what he's just got to be in the field more. I think the same with Okonkwo. So, and, you know, Paul Gar, we didn't ask Garcia about his Hollister tweet.
No.
We'll have to do that next week. Every time we have PK on, someone on the text is like, he is a miserable human. It's like, just, come on.
Calm down a little bit.
Can we just enjoy his miserableness? You know, why can't we enjoy that?
I enjoy him very much.
Especially when he's whining about USMNT, man. I actually really wanted to watch that game with him. I really want to watch one of these games with him. It would be hilarious.
By the way, the tweet from Kaharski yesterday was, one recent area where the Titans deserve credit, last three games with Treylon Burks back, here are Cody Hollister's snap counts on offense. 9 against Denver, 7 against Green Bay, 4 against Cincinnati, trending toward the correct number of 0. This is from Paul Kaharski.
That was kind of funny, though.
God, Cody Hollister gets so much hate.
He does.
It's
not his fault.
I mean, like Hollister and Swaim together.
Oh, man.
You know? Like, my goodness, if people dislike them.
Yeah, those two.
I mean, they're not, you know, they're not the most skilled, fluid offensive, you know, players. But,
look,
good blockers.
Let me tell you.
Although PFF says Jeff Swaim isn't one, but I don't know.
I'm here to tell you. Look, if Kyle Phillips is back this week, which, by the way, another thing to keep your eye on today, Cody Hollister doesn't need to be on the field.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. I mean, look, to me, well, if Phillips is back, you know, this may be a little bit of a hot take, but hey, someone on the text line says I'm plum drunk with my takes today.
Wow. Okay.
I would argue. I mean, I could argue for cut down in Robert Woods snaps a little bit. I really could. I mean, because I like how Westbrook Akine is playing, and I think Phillips can give you something. And Burks has to. I mean, Burks is a necessity.
Yeah. Well, he's just got to be. He's got to continue to be out there a lot. And you know, is he perfect? Nope. Are there things that he could work on blocking in the running game? Sure. Or you know, in the passing game, is he? Hopefully getting better with each passing week. Hopefully so. But, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be encouraged on the Treylon Burks front by what we've seen the last 2 weeks. Like, it's more what we thought we'd be talking about with Treylon Burks the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now, don't want to go overboard with that, which no. I heard a little bit on an afternoon program yesterday when all of a sudden Jared's talking himself into the A.J. trade again because, you know, because A.J.'s had a couple fumbles and Burks has had some better games. I mean, let's not – I don't think Treylon Burks at the end of this season has any chance of comparing to A.J. Brown as a rookie. I don't think so. Now, maybe he proves me wrong. But can he be the emerging top receiver in your offense? Can he be a consistent playmaker? Can he make a difference and give you a chance to have enough balance to go in and win a playoff game? Yeah, I think that's possible. And that's a big deal.
Well, I think he's at least shown that when you have an opportunity to go throw him a 50-50 ball, he can come down with it. He did so against Alexander. I thought the best catch he's made so far was the one he made in the Cincinnati game, and it was going up and just ripping it away from somebody. Like, obviously, you don't want to get into a habit if you're Tannehill just like willy-nilly throwing the ball up in the air and hoping he comes down with it, but there is something to be said for your receiver having the trust to throw the ball up to him, maybe even if he's not wide open and feeling confident that he's going to come down with the ball. That's what the top receivers in the league do.
Absolutely. And he absolutely fits the physical bill. Well, think about, you know, the win over Washington. Obviously, it's won by David Long at the end, and they probably should have lost that game. A fantastic play by him. But also, I don't think that even comes down to that, if not for the kind of just chuck it up and let NWI make a play. I mean, he's big and physical, too, more than he is someone who's going to run by people. So maybe more just trying to box people out and let your receivers be physical would be a good thing.
Is there any concern level from you with Tannehill and his ankle this week? It did look like he at least bothered it a little bit on Sunday. He was kind of limping around towards the end of the game. You know, obviously he stayed in there and he played. But any concern on the Tannehill ankle front leading into this week?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, it's and you wonder if it's not just this week, but like, is it just going to be a thing, you know, week after week? Because look, Tannehill with this protection, which has gotten better as the run game has weirdly kind of seesawed and gotten worse, but with this protection, he's going to have to make some plays with his feet, at least to extend plays or a big run here or there. If they would have won the game the other day, you know, that one scramble where he took a huge shot, that was a big, you know, play and that drive that ended up, you know, with the field goal. So it is a concern because, I mean, they do have one more longer break, but it's only at the very end after they play the Cowboys on Thursday night. So other than that, it's, you know, it's week after week. And of course, then you have the short week going into that game, which could be a very big game. So yeah, I think you're at least to the point where, like, you know, he's going to play, and it's just a matter of how much does it affect him. I thought the velocity on some of his throws was affected against Denver, and I think that's at least been taken care of. But who knows if he had another setback.
Yeah, I mean, certainly something to monitor today. Like, he had at least gotten to the point where, you know, he's basically out there practicing every time during the week. Now, I'm interested to see what it looks like today. I mean, he's hobbling around pretty good at the end of that game. So, I mean, I guess there's at least a chance that he won't practice today. And that would kind of tell me that there's at least been some sort of a setback.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Simmons, you can just count on him not being out there today because you have to try to get that little extra bit of rest and hope that, you know, that they can get better. I mean, Simmons, and that's the thing, it's an interesting, you know, the point Kuharsky made about, so you don't have Autry on the field. If you don't have Autry in the field, you automatically, to me, like, I assume, okay, that's even more double teams for Jeffrey Simmons then, but apparently not doubled much and not, you know, didn't do a ton. I thought he was laboring out there. I mean, I could make the case with him. Well, shoot, you could do it with Tannehill too and be fine. He can execute the offense, you know, give him the week.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be fine. He's talked about not needing much practice time on that front. On the defensive side of the ball, hopefully a second straight game of everybody in the secondary being healthy. Like, they're going to need their secondary to be at full strength. Devontae Smith, big weapon. A.J. Brown, big weapon. But having those five guys in the starting rotation together and healthy would be great.
It needs to matter more.
Yeah.
It needs to matter more for you. You got to take on Cincinnati without Ja'Marr Chase. And, again, first half was good. Second half, some of it was just as simple as T. Higgins being bigger and stronger than Roger McCreary. But, yeah, that needs to matter more, make a bigger difference for them. And, look, going back to the A.J. Brown thing, I do wonder just, like, how the Titans approach this from just purely from a football sense.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like you said, Devontae Smith is also really good. A.J. Brown has, you know, considerably better numbers than him, but Devontae Smith's a good player. Now, they don't have Dallas Goedert, and he's been a big part of their offense, and that's a break for the Titans. So, Greg A. says, I'm looking at the YouTube stream. I just noticed Joe's growing a mustache and goatee. He's looking like a bootleg Doctor Strange of the game universe. I mean, it's weirded out by people. You know, you don't think about people watching us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. On our video streaming, brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry.
Yeah. And I appreciate you, Amanda J. Gentry. I'm just saying it weirds me out when people, you know, tell you that they're watching. Yeah.
A lot of opinions about you today.
Yeah, I know.
Both physically and other things.
Yeah. Anybody have any comments on my body? We can get into that, too. Yeah, I think I might shave this today. I kind of gave it
a whirl.
And I get mixed signals. It's all about Katie. You know, basically it's up to her, but I think I'll probably shave it today.
I get mixed signals.
Just keep it going.
Yeah. For it.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jarrett Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jarrett Companies. For more, visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. Would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Goatee or non-goatee?
Interesting question.
Michelle? Non-sports and non-goatee.
All right.
Wow.
I feel like that was a bit of a message.
Apparently.
All right, non-sports. What is your favorite place for people watching? Your favorite place for people watching. I have a variety of different routes I could go with this answer.
Broadway? I don't like going to Broadway, but when I do, I like to have a nice perch and just watch the absolute bleep show unfold right in front of me.
Utter chaos out there. It really is unbelievable.
I mean, I would put in New Orleans in the same
Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street is like you walk down it one time. You kind of like earmuffs and you're just like, oh my god, and you hold your nose, and then you go to the rest of New Orleans and it's awesome. But you got to see it.
Yeah.
And Broadway, it's not the exact same thing. Broadway is actually not less of a bleep show in some ways than Bourbon, but it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I love the Broadway answer. That is a very good one, but when you asked this question, Robbie, it brought me back to my freshman year of college. And my friends used to hate when I would do this. But on a Sunday morning, right, you wake up, you're hungover, you go to the dining hall. It's the cafeteria style. You get your pizza, right, all at 11 a.m., just all these foods. And you just sit there. And I would people watch like no other. My friends are like, can't we eat and, like, go? We would sit there sometimes for, like, an hour and just watch the people walk in and all their outfits. Oh, it was so funny. It's great. So, the dining hall at the University of Kentucky on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
Or probably any college.
Yeah. No, that's a very good call.
I'm going county fair.
Oh, good one, Robbie.
Amazing. And look, I've been to several different county fairs, so I'm not really singling out one. Although I will say, like, just because of the sheer amount of people that are generally at this fair, what was formerly known as the Wilson County Fair that I believe is now turned into just the Tennessee State Fair, it is a doozy. I mean, there you can find some. And look, like I said, you go on any one night to that fair, and there's probably like 115,000 people wandering around. So you're going to find some good people watching candidates when you have a crowd that size. But the county fair, like, honestly, I've seen enough YouTube videos where it's getting to the point with the county fair that I don't really trust the rides anymore. Like, as a kid, I didn't even think about it. I just got on them.
Oh, me too.
I don't know if I do that much at the county fair anymore. But I will say, people watching, number one, the food's good. But number two, the people watching experience, it's pretty awesome. Like, I enjoy the county fair a lot.
Yeah, that's an elite choice. Yeah.
We got a text. John says Walmart on the text line. I thought about that.
Throw in the airport, too.
David says Buc-ee's.
Oh.
Find some things.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
There are actually a lot of great
options. There's a lot of great options out there for people watching. All right, back into sports. For the next calendar year, who are the top three most intriguing coaches to you in the SEC West? Purely the SEC West. for the next year. So, I mean, like you could say, well, Nick Saban, the next 5 years, interested to see if they can win a national title. I mean, you can go that route if you want to, but with a certain addition yesterday, an already intriguing division coaches-wise, just got a little bit more intriguing, your top three most intriguing coaches in the SEC West over the course of the next calendar year.
Well, number one is Hugh Freeze, and that just, I mean, the whole thing with him, because, you know, take it away from all the ridiculousness and the hypocrisy that's gone into this whole thing. It's also Auburn, and man, it does not take long at that place. Even though it should take longer at some point, it does not take long for people to get mad and like start to make up scandals. And you may not have to in this case, but but I mean, you know, that's I mean, right from day one for sure him. I'm still gonna go Jimbo.
Okay,
like I still have to go Jimbo. Like what? You know, he beats LSU, and it's like everything's all bad with our offense.
All right. It's a great academic institution, ain't it?
So, but it's a great question because, like, it's a freaking treasure trove. But I will go Saban because post Bryce Young, and I'm more on the side of, you know, come on, well, the dynasty's over. But like is he going to be in contention for the national title next year? Because he needs to be. Because if he's not, doesn't that kind of mean there's some erosion? So those would be my three.
All right. Michelle?
Okay. My first one is Brian Kelly.
Okay.
Because I feel like this year he exceeded expectations, but it's kind of a good and bad thing because nobody expected him to do this well. But now it's like, okay, if you did that in your first year,
right. Now
you're actually going to be recruiting your own guys and developing all these players. So Brian Kelly, I'm going to put Lane Kiffin on there because of this whole Auburn Ole Miss thing. And one of the biggest arguments was, okay, well, you can't get there at Ole Miss. So can Lane Kiffin kind of get over that hump? He's had successful seasons, but can he get to the college football playoff? So Lane Kiffin. And then this one's hard. Hugh Freeze, I feel like, is the obvious answer, but I'm going to go Jimbo as well, Joe, because honestly, I was talking to Chase a couple weeks ago before they beat LSU, and I mean, I thought he was going to get fired. I think the LSU win helps, but I mean, if he starts off bad next year, I think that Texas A&M will just eat that money. So
Jimbo's one for me. I think
you may be right.
I'm going one. Number one, Jimbo. Like, you went 5-7 with the number one recruiting class in America this year. I know they won against LSU, and that kind of, I guess, softens the blow a little bit, but you're a preseason top 10 team, and you went 5-7. Like, if it starts rough next year, they're gonna fire him, and they're gonna eat the money, and they're gonna fire him. So I got Jimbo at one, I got Hugh Freeze at two, and I do have Brian Kelly at three. Like, I think it's, can he sustain that moving forward? But the Hugh Freeze thing, the press conference yesterday was something.
He's a silver-tongued devil, that Hugh Freeze.
Yes. All right, back into non-sports. If you had to go back into a world where cell phones didn't exist, what would be the most challenging part for you? And I can go first if you need some time to think about it.
Yeah, you go first, Rob.
All right. Mine is memorizing numbers again. I used to have, back as a kid, when obviously I didn't have a cell phone and you relied on the landline, I had like 35 numbers memorized in my head. And I could still like rattle off most of them to you. I know my wife's phone number by heart. I know my parents' phone number by heart. And I know one of my brothers. And that is it. That's the only phone numbers I know. Having to memorize numbers again, I'd be totally screwed.
Okay, I've got one. Robbie, that's a great one because I'm on the same boat as you. I know my brothers, my mom's. I don't even think I know Ryan. So that would be the hardest. But also, GPS.
That was on the list.
I have lived in Nashville a year and a half, and I use my GPS every single day. Every single day to go. I still don't know how to get to Target, to Trader Joe's. I guess I would just have to figure it out. But I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, like, what did you, Joe, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, hey, you're a boomer here for a second, but
fine, boy.
Did you actually use maps? Like, when you would drive from Virginia to, like, I can't even just fathom that.
No, it's a great one. Well, what I would often do is just call and get directions, write them down. And you have directions right now. But, like, so awesome. I remember when the internet was this amazing thing when this website called MapQuest came
out.
And I would print out the directions on Map. It was like, MapQuest. Oh, my gosh, you can just punch in an address and print it out? And then there were Garmins, by the way, which I had one of those. But, yeah, that's a good one. I tell you, this is a terrible admission, but I will admit it. I don't know my kids' numbers.
Joe! Yeah,
I know.
It's a real thing.
Hey, I know. Yeah. It's freaking bad. But that would be my answer is keeping track of your kids because, I mean, not only do we – I mean, I'll admit another thing. Sometimes text them during the day at school, which is so bad. I mean, obviously you hope they look between classes, but it's like that's – you know what I mean?
My mom does too.
But texting, calling, tracking their phones with Phone Finder, not being able to like just – constantly be in surveillance of them would be like I don't know how I would and yet I don't know their numbers.
All right, we're gonna have to go real quickly on this last one because we got Matt Duchesne coming up. All right, last question for sports. Who has a better season in 2023? Joe Milton or AJ Swan?
So just statistically.
Yeah.
Joe Milton.
Okay.
Joe Milton.
I'll go AJ Swan.
No, down on the Jover throw.
I don't think Joe Milton's going to be the starting quarterback the whole year next year for Tennessee. I'll go AJ Swan.
That could happen. Okay.
This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Wednesday at 8:45. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies. Visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators forward Matt Duchesne. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds win last night against the Ducks. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.